I'm coming into the other
Blog
Talk Radio. So good morning. Appreciate you being here. Let's do this one here. Julian, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everyone.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Montana, and it's not snowing for a change, which is very nice. So all
snowballed
up here.
I haven't seen snow off for 20 years, except on television. I was kidding.
You have been muted. To unmute yourself, press the star key twice. Mute off.
So energy. Let's see. Hey, Nate.
So what are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, I really want to talk about the crisis that you have talked about before, the energy crisis that's coming. I mean, okay. Look, there are a lot of things coming to the planet Earth in the next 12 months, 24 months, 60 months, right? And you know some of the things that are coming. And I think to tell people, to warn people, to heads up about what's coming to planet Earth is important. Do you think it's important?
Yes, I do. I think the most important thing for everybody now is to find a way to store some food and
Wait a minute, one second. Wait till we tap into the program. Let me see where we are on the program.
Okay. Yeah, we hear you, Russ.
Oh, you do?
Hear you
and
Jane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good morning, Nate. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. What about you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's no use being anything else, is it? You might as well be fine as not. I know Russell wants to talk about the predictive things that are coming down, but you know, I've been thinking a lot myself since the last Monday about that clip you did with David Icke when he was talking about the waveform. And this is probably something quite crazy, but it's been in my mind all week. You know, when you go to these big movie complexes where they have several theaters running at once, and you buy a ticket and you go in and then you go to see whichever film you wish to see. I went to one of those once. I found it quite confusing, but it was interesting. And it's been on my mind all this week because this is kind of like what David Icke was talking about with the waveform universe. If indeed we are a holographic universe and that we know as a fact that everything is vibrating and is a frequency and moving constantly, everything is constantly changing, then maybe as individuals it's possible for us to say, okay, my body is like my ticket to the movie theater and I can choose which movie I want to go and see. So we can step back from our lives and look at everything around us and say, okay, this is my life. This is my perception of my life. And now I don't want to live this life. I want to live another life. So we can go into a different movie theater. We can change the view. And this is actually more than changing just our perception of this reality. It's actually a marker that says we can change our total reality. And I think this is what David Icke was talking about. It's not just perception, because if it's only our perception, the actual reality has not changed, just our view of it. But I think that it is possible, based on what he was talking about, to actually change our own reality. And I know that Nate and his group are very involved with, you know, the quantum fields and quantum mechanics, or quantum physics as it is now. And I wonder, Nate, what do you think of that? Do you think we can actually change our reality?
Of course. I mean, listen, that information has been given us time and time again. It's in the Bible. It's in all the positive principles of self-development, all the books, Think and Grow Rich, The Magic of Thinking Big, the Science of Getting Rich. All of them, Jesus, in John 14, 12, all the things I have done, you could do and more because I got to go, you know, and leave this planet and leave you guys here. So it's been given us to us over and over again. We just don't believe it. We haven't been trained to believe it because we're so dumbed down to the third level or second level or first, whatever. We've been dumbed down. And so nobody has really helped us to really expand and grow except those one or two persons who come along like Jeff Bezos or Howard Schultz or A.L. Williams or Art Williams. Even Rich and Jay DeVore of Amway fame, they come along and say, no, we can do, even Mary Kay, no. When she had the three kids, she's divorced and a single mother, and she says, no, I don't have to get a job. I don't have to live like this. I have $5,000. She went to her CPA and say, hey, listen, you know what I want to do? I want to start a company dealing with cosmetics. He said, you got to be insane. This is 1963. There are a billion companies doing cosmetics, right? She said, but I think I can be different. Fast forward, she's gone now, but her company, Mary Kay, is doing like $5 billion a world, correction, $5 billion annually across the world. I mean, even if we go back to Madam C.J. Walker in 1902, she had $1.50, and she says, you know, I want to do different. I want to be different. The rest is history. She decided to become a multi-millionaire back in 1910, 1912, 1908. Come on. Starting with $1.50, because she willed herself to start a business that many of even her husbands around her didn't see, many people didn't see, and the rest is history. Yes, we can be – listen, I have a book in front of me. It's called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And let me read the first little – and I'll turn it back over to you. Here's what it says. Mind, your mind is the master power that molds and makes. And man is mind. And evermore you take he takes the tool of thought and shaping as he wills, brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. Man thinks in secret, but it comes to pass. Environment is but your looking glass. So whatever you think about, you can bring about. It's that simple. So we have to change our thoughts in order to change our energy, in order to think, change the world around us. Go ahead to answer your question.
Right.
Yeah. So it's out there.
Okay.
Many people have done it.
Well, that wasn't quite what I was trying to get at, but I accept your answer. So where do you want to go?
That
what
wasn't
do, what
quite
do you want
what,
to do?
No, that's in a practical sense. That's what I'm saying. I think you're saying that if we like a doctor. Okay, let's do it.
What I was asking. Was that in the field, in the quantum field,
yeah.
Have we actually changed what is real? If I say there's a tree in front of my house, within
sure.
the quantum field, is it possible to change that view from being a tree to
of
being
course,
a mountain?
Of course, Jesus said, he says, if you concentrate on things, I'm going to say it in other words, Let me reach back here.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Russell, and I know what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. It wasn't quite what I was asking, but that's fine. Let's talk about something else.
But what you're saying in the largest sense of the word, in terms of the total millions and billions and hundreds of billions of planets in the universe, right? You're saying,
right.
Can we change things? Can we shift things around? And I said, yes, in that largest sense of the word, we can do that if we concentrate and focus on things, right?
Right. So what are we focusing on right now?
Well, I just want to share some information with people. That's all. I mean, you saying you look at the world one way, I look at it in some ways like you do, maybe a little different in other respects. But look. can we agree that based on your studies, based on those individuals that you have been around for many, 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 many years, your husband won, and he was around 60 or 70 years, just focusing on disclosure, if you will, like Dr. Stephen Greer, the project Disclosure, if you will, and he's done Unacknowledged,
yes.
And he's doing other things. He's doing a big deal in Washington, D.C. on June 10th, 12th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. this June. And he's got 500 or 600 or more people coming from around the world to talk about focusing on things so that we can help people see that the reality of that, those things called UFOs or UAPs, that they are real, that they are the entities for other parts of the universe, probably aboard, coming to visit us, talk to us, whatever, and maybe help us to raise our consciousness level, right? I want to talk about how you see things in this coming year. What do you see coming? What can you point to?
Well, I see obviously more and more worldwide protests against governments in general, it's not just our government. I get, you know, friends writing to me from Europe who are telling me the same problems, the same things are existing. This mass movement that we've seen of people over the last decade or longer, right, where we've had all these minor wars. When I say minor, they've been serious, obviously, to the people, but in world scale, they've been small wars, Iraqis, Iran, Syria, the Middle East in general, the Ukraine. These all localized wars have displaced people all over the world. And all the countries in the world have been flooded with refugees, with immigrants coming in, way, way beyond their normal capability, which I've never understood. I don't understand why healthy young people don't stand and fight for their own country if they want their own country. But generally, they seem to have used this, the disturbances in their own countries, as an excuse to go and illegally move into somebody else's country. And so we've got this massive intermingling of populations that are refugees one way or another. They are classified as refugees one way or another, and it's causing great disturbance and upheaval in the countries that they are going to.
But
and
the
so
mass,
we're going
can
to
I say
see,
this?
We,
mass,
yes.
May I say this? It's they don't see themselves as having any option but to do that. Have you gone back to 1929, 1930,
I'm living in the present, Russell. I will reference history, but I'm not going back to debate history, right?
If you don't study history, you'll repeat all of it.
Well, I do study history. I actually have university credits in history. So,
okay, fine.
Yes, I do study history.
I do, like William Tompkins says, we've been taught wrong. Well, let me play this. Let me answer this. Let me do this. I want, in terms of specificity, rather than generalities, right? Is there an energy crisis coming to this United States as it has happened?
Yes, of course it is.
Okay, let me play this.
Of course, it's an energy crisis.
Okay. Let's play this. After this is finished, answer the question.
Is, do we have underground facilities devoted to the extraterrestrial question? And there evidence for that.
Sorry,
the issue of the relationship between extraterrestrials and technology, terrestrial technology, is a very interesting, complex issue.
I played the wrong one. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It became a significant matter when...
One second. Let me change this.
I'm
sorry.
In order for our civilization to move forward significantly, we're going to have something better than solar panels and windmills. And the good news is... we have it. The bad news is there are sociopaths who are in super secret projects that don't want us to have it. And our civilization has been greatly harmed, not to mention our environment and biosphere. So a lot of people think this is about aliens. I said, no, it's not about ETs. It's about humans and how are humans going to get out of the conundrum we're in, which is a very serious problem, and move forward as a civilization instead of sliding backwards.
Okay. He is saying that because of the back engineering people have done, the big corporations about Roswell and other crash down UFOs, if you will, that we have the energy better than anything possible to solve the problem of humanity. You are saying there's an energy crisis in Europe as we speak, right? Yes. And I'm asking you, do you see that same energy crisis that's happening in Europe today? And if you don't mind, could you explain what's happening in Europe and then say yes or no, whether you see it coming to the United States? That's the question. Please.
Okay. The situation in Europe is mostly because of the Ukraine causing a disruption, and Russia and the European economy, the European Economic Union, disagreeing over the delivery of Russian gas to Europe. That is their main source of heating in Europe, gas heating, and most of the gas comes from Russia. So it is the EU's dispute with Russia, which is the cause of their current problem. Will we have the same problem? Obviously not, because we're not dependent on Russia. But will we have ongoing problems with energy in this country? Yes, we will. But our bigger problem will be with good supply and full food supply, partly because of the energy problems that we have, and partly because of the other problems that are happening in our country at present. So yes, we will have problems, not from the same root cause as Europe.
Right, I got that. So if you see that coming, what would you suggest people do to resolve the issue that's not even on the doorstep yet? What can we do?
Well,
as a solution?
We can continue with the massive disclosures that we are getting now of government corruption wherever it is seen, and that in its turn it's like tentacles going out. It will uncover the real corruption, or not so much corruption. It's been really more a case of blackmailing the American population by the big corporations, by holding back patents which they have bought. And I did mention this last Monday about the man who had the patent on running engines with water, which was bought over by one of the corporations. Ford Motor Company, I believe, has that patent. These big corporations buy over patents from the inventors and then shelve them, hide them away. And there are dozens, not one or two, but dozens and dozens of these kinds of innovations and inventions which have been bought over and hidden away and never used, never brought to market, because it would interfere with the profit line of the big corporations. So the more we have disclosure, the more things are opened up and the public can see it. It might cause great rebellion, even revolution at some point, but it will force changes. And that's rather sad, because we don't need to have the disruptions. We could have all these changes brought about peacefully and within the system. We don't need anarchy. We don't need chaos on our streets. But we're going to get it, because those that hold the reins, which means the ones with the money and the power, are not going to let go. We have tried and tried and tried to, you know, they're like clams clinging to rocks. They will not let go. And everything's been done to try and prise them loose. And they just simply won't give in. But they are being brought down. People like Stephen Greer is a brilliant man. He not only has the right ideas, he has the right background as well to be credible and to bring this out to the public. If someone like I stood up and said all these things, it would mean nothing because they would say, oh, who is she? She's nobody. She's just, you know, some dumb clairvoyant from Yorkshire in England. Would mean nothing. But a man like Stephen Greer, with great credibility from his actual history, his background, that is important. He's the kind of man who is going to really open the doors and force these truths to come to the surface. And then we can move forward, and we don't need the aliens to do it. It is true. However, here is the thing about some of the extraterrestrials. The ones who don't want to help us, the ones I would call the bad guys, right, that are in cahoots with a lot of governments and top corporations anyway, right, they are going to do everything to try and hold us back because they are involved. Believe it or not, you know, people think that just because it's space and it's out there and it's in the universe and these are all highly evolved, smarter beings than humans, right, that they don't involve in things like money and marketing and assets and value and power and control. That things are corrupt here, well, then look at the universe and the opportunity for corruption there. It's obviously a million times greater than it is on any little planet like Earth. So although there are wonderful, highly evolved beings who do want to help us, there are an equal number, if not more, of the not so good and not so desirable beings who are involved in intergalactic slave trade and all kinds of bad news things. So to think that the extraterrestrial involvement is always going to be good is not right, but it's not always going to be bad either. It's a two-way street. And there is an ongoing battle to try and let good win, let the light in, let the truth out. And, you know, it is true. Truth will set you free, but it's a fight to get the truth. And that's what people like Stephen Greer are doing now. They're trying to get the truth of everything that goes on this planet. And we have had through the last, well, since the Industrial Revolution, wonderful innovations, not only reverse engineering of extraterrestrial equipment that has arrived on this planet, and not only from the extraterrestrials, but also we've had advanced humans whose brains have developed to that level where they are innovative of themselves. So there's a lot of human invention. Humans are very creative, and we have brought a lot of things to the fore that could change our planet and really save ourselves, whether the aliens interact with us or not.
Right. Okay. We had talked once before. I got about six different ways I can go on this. But anyway, why is it important for human beings to come to this planet? Obviously, most people here, you had said, have made a choice to come to this planet for this time. Why did we come to this place for such a time as this? One, two, Esther. The other one is, there are other entities from maybe Ceres or some other planet out in the universe, or maybe on the far reaches of the galaxy, decided to come here, Andromeda, wherever they come from. Why would they want to come here at this time? Explain that. What's the advantage of them coming here, this planet, which is the outback of the universe, which is really a prison colony, which is the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst places to be? Why would they want to come here? What's the rationale?
I don't think it's the worst place to be. It is, well, several reasons, right? One, to some people from certain other planets, like Mars, for example, Earth is a resort, it's a vacation planet, it's one of the, if not the, most beautiful planets in this quadrant of the universe. I have never seen anywhere that offered the incredible natural beauty that planet Earth offers. So that's one reason why people come. The main reason why First of all, people who are Earth humans are tied to this planet. So when they reincarnated in this lifetime, they didn't have any choice. This was their planet. This was where they reincarnated. You are correct to say that probably as much as two-thirds of the people on this planet at this time have come from other locations in the universe. And the reason they have come is to see what happens during this period of change, because the universe is on the brink of a massive expansion. It occurs every few millennia, like maybe 500 million years or something, a very, very long time, when there is huge change, where the universe gets recharged, it gets re-energized with light from the center, and it literally expands. The bubble spreads out further and there is more opportunity. An example of this is what's going on the other side of the Andromeda, spiral galaxy through Andromeda. There is a new creation developing in that area. So this is a time of great expansion, and planet Earth is a wonderful place to view it from, simply because we do not, as a general rule, use telepathic communication. Very few people are truly telepathic. Many species in the universe, however, are telepathic and use it as their means of communication. So when they come to Earth, not having telepathy available to use in their normal brain function, we on Earth, as living as Earth humans, no matter where we've come from, are isolated completely from one another. Our minds are not connected on a daily basis. And that being true, when we have to make choices, we make them on our own. We are not influenced by other minds connecting to us. We are in our own little space, and our decisions and choices are truly our own. And as our soul's progression is entirely on our choices throughout our history, no matter where we live in the universe, we are all trying to progress towards direct connection with the light, direct connection with the core of the universe, direct connection with God, if you like. And so we are all on the same journey, no matter what species we are, right? Some of us have turned away from it and chosen the dark side, but on the whole, probably at least half the people or more in the universe, I would say more rather than less, are working towards the light. As we are here as humans on Earth, we're trying to move forward. And so in order to do that, we have to make choices. When we make right choices, right by the standards of the universe, that is, in other words, choices based on entirely on unconditional love and humility, when we make those choices of our own volition, we are advancing. And when we don't make those choices, when we make different choices, then we are either at a standstill or we're losing our light energy. We are falling back. And so as we move forward, we gain light. When we make mistakes, we lose light. It really is that simple. Enlightenment is simply being filled with light, becoming a being of light. And that becoming a being of light is what gives you your immortality. When your soul is totally enlightened, you can become an immortal being. Then the entire universe is your playground, and you can then choose how you will serve the source, right? So this is all part of the progression, and the main reason why other people from other planetary systems want to be on Earth at this time, so that they have this experience of choosing for themselves. And this is true for all humans. It is a time of choosing, a time of great choice, because we are choosing either to claim our immortality and be ready to move forward into a whole new cycle of this creation, or we are choosing not to be bothered to simply stick our heads in the sand, hope we don't, you know, lose our jobs or run out of gas at the when we're miles from the gas station or whatever we fill our minds with that are really the transient things that ultimately are of no importance whatsoever, and we are ignoring the important thing. And the important thing at this time of great change on this planet and throughout the universe, and it's occurring now. It's been building up since 1998, and it is continuing at least until 2026. It's a process that is going on. It's, we're already two-thirds the way through it. And people have been making choices throughout all this period of time. The single most important choice anyone can be making right now is to claim their immortality, to put their soul before their body.
Yeah. Well, how does one do that?
Use the mind. The mind controls everything. Absolutely everything. You made a comment when I was talking about the refugees. You said, well, their situation is such that they had no choice. Of course they had choice. We always, with every single thing in our lives, is a choice. And everything that ever happens to us is a result of those choices. Doesn't matter what it is. It's whether it affects our physical body, our mental body, our emotional body. Everything that comes to us is a result of our choices.
Guess what? I'm going back to William Tompkins says, we all been trained and programmed and given the wrong information psychologically, sociologically, philosophically, educationally, spiritually, since time immemorial. So people think they don't have choices because they programmed.
Let me say this one more, then
you're going to have all the time you want. Whether it be the universities, whether it be high schools, graduate schools, whether it be college, university, grade schools, whether it be the churches, the Mormons, the ethical society members, the science of mind, we all been programmed badly. We haven't been given the right information.
That's true. That's totally, absolutely true. And so what is the choice you have? The choice you have is to say, okay, this is I'm an adult now, and by the way, spiritually speaking, they consider 16 years of age as an adult. You're capable of thinking for yourself by the time you're 16, according to spirit, right? Now, let us suppose that you're already in your 20s, right? And you've been to all these colleges, you've been taught all these wrong things, you've been programmed with all these lies. You are still able to stand back and say, do I believe all this stuff? That is your choice. Your choice to question it or accept it. And that is a choice that everybody has, no matter what their circumstance in life. Do I accept this? Do I believe this? Or do I question it? And if nobody questions anything, well, that's their problem. That's their fault. That is a fault.
But they've been programmed.
It does not matter what you have been programmed with. Your mind is still capable of asking your brain, do you really believe all this stuff you've been programmed with? Is it true? Is it right? You see, we have two great things as humans. We have curiosity, which is huge, and we have imagination, right? So no matter what we think or how we've been programmed, unless we've literally been physically damaged, our brain has been physically damaged and made us incapable of thinking, so long as we can think of anything, we can question it. One of the biggest programming things on the planet is religion, right? So let us say somebody has been born into a Catholic family, which has programmed them from the date of their birth. Once they become an adult, and they're busy with whatever they're doing, you know, saying their novenas or in the church, going through the mass ceremony, and everything is in line with what they've been taught and programmed, it does not stop them in their mind saying, but is this all real? Is this all true? I need to question it. I need to ask why, how, when, and where.
Okay.
But it's easier for people to not question anything. It's the old saying, don't rock the boat. Most people prefer not to rock the boat.
Okay, fine.
And that's why nothing changes for them.
Well, listen, it's a very, very extremely and ordinarily difficult to go against the grain.
Yeah.
We're in the cul-de-sac. We're following rote memory. We have blinders on. David Icke says it this way.
People think there's a past and there's the future. But there's only a now. There's only a now moment. Mm. And so that's very difficult for people to grasp at first, because they think, well, I've been there and I'm going there. Well, but hold on a minute. When you're thinking of the past, where are you? You're in the now. When you're worrying about the future, where are you? You're in the now. And when what we call the future becomes an experience, it's experienced in the now. There's only the now. So time is an illusion too. Mm. But we use time so that we can operate within this reality. But again, it's part of the illusion. It's part of the reality that people think is real but isn't. And, you know, if you kind of think about it, if you are a tiny group of people deep in the shadows who understand the nature of reality, the illusory nature of reality, how people interact with reality, how perceptions of people become their experience, cause and effect, just think of the magnitude of power that gives you over the target population. This is why mainstream science is so controlled, so that it doesn't go down these roads. I mean, you know, you talk to most scientists, although quantum physics has shown this to be true, and they have to acknowledge quantum physics exists, because it does, they crack on in their own disciplines as if quantum physics doesn't exist, as if the whole thing's bloody solid and real.
Mm.
I mean, you look at medicine. Medicine treats the body as if the body is a solid reality with the scalpel and the drug. But the body is just a decoded projection of waveform energetic fields. And if that energetic field is in harmony, the body has to be in harmony. It has to be healthy, because the body that we see is just a holographic decoded projection of the waveform field of information. If that waveform field of information becomes disharmonious, which emotion can do, this is why stress causes illness, which fear can do, which anxiety can do, which radiation fields can do, which Wi-Fi can do, then that distortion of the waveform field of the body becomes expressed in the projection, decoded projection of what we call the physical body. And therefore we have dis-ease, disharmony, illness, which is why the alternative methods of healing going way, way back, whether it's acupuncture, all of it, focus on healing the waveform level of the body, the energetic level of the body, knowing that if that's right, this must be right.
Mm.
Because mainstream medicine, within this 5 cents postage stamp prison that it operates in, does not accept the waveform level of the body and only accepts this level, which it can see, touch, and taste, etc. What can it do but try to treat what it can see with the scalpel and the drug, which is why it causes such mayhem to the point where the biggest cause of death in America now is the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Staggering, but true.
And you as a nurse know all of this, so I just wanted to point up that's some of his thinking. You know David Icke better than most of us do, because he's from your neck of the woods. You want to comment on what he has said, what he's saying?
Well, no, I think we got off the subject a little bit, but in a way he's saying pretty much the same thing, that it's all in the mind. The mind
right.
controls it. You're ability to think controls it. And so long as you have the ability to think, you're not unconscious, right? Then you have choices, always. There's no situation in life where you do not have a choice.
Okay. But how do you get a person who's just born to this planet for the first time? I'm not talking about being reincarnated 1,000 times like you have, like being the first like me. How do you get a person like that to have all those choices available to him or her?
Well, just by living. The choices are available to anybody who is alive. Doesn't matter how many times you've been here or not been here. Doesn't matter that you've been programmed.
The AI programming is ubiquitous. Come on. It's got all of
us. Artificial intelligence programming. Now you're in a whole different field if you're talking about artificial intelligence.
Okay. All right. And you're saying that has nothing to do with how we think and how we behave on a day-by-day basis. You're not saying that.
As ensouled human beings, we are in control of our own choices and of how we use our minds. Are we affected by the programming that we undergo, let's say wherever it comes from? Yes, of course we are. But as individual soul units, we still have, because it's a, if you like, a God-given thing, it's part of the reality of being a sentient being, that you have choices. That's the way you progress. And it's because you are human that you, and all creatures, they might look different, but I'm talking about the human species throughout the universe. All humans are sentient beings. As sentient beings, have the right of choice. This is why the governments, in particularly ours, but the governments on the ruling government on the planet generally, the cabal, if you like, are wanting to you to have so many injections of various sorts. And this was found out years and years ago. This is not something new, I'm telling you. They generally use a pig, you know, the swine basis for building their all the inoculations. They give babies these days, the jabs for the COVID, all these things. They generally use a swine base for the injection. What they were trying to do is, they are trying to do, is turn us over more into animals than humans. Because animals don't have the same right of choice that humans have, that conscious sentient beings have. It's about, you know, it's about them saying, you know, God-given free will, that you have free will, that this is part of being a sentient human being, that you have choice. Because choice is the way by which you progress and become enlightened.
Right.
You can't say, I've got a little choice if I'm this person and a different level of choice if I'm another person. Choice is choice. It's not a degree thing. It's not something that you have in degrees.
Okay.
It's a do-it-or-don't thing.
Right. Okay. Let me do this. We've been talking. It's, 20 minutes, 15 more minutes, and the hour is up. So anyway. I wanted to go another direction this morning, but here we are, and thinking and choice and all that. And maybe somebody else may have a question or a comment or add on, if you will, in terms of the whole discussion. But we ended up with free thinking. I was trying to get the energy, but that's all right. Next time, maybe we'll be given the next
free
time
thinking.
To do that. No, free. Yeah.
Free thinking choices. Yes,
I'm sorry.
Greeting my beloved family, Olympic Arc family. I love the conversation. This is Mahasan here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was coming in to say that, first of all, I like to have the name of the woman who's speaking here. She is really, really spectacular.
at Jillian Green.
Jillian,
what's her name?
Jillian.
No, G-I-L-L-I-A-N. G-I-L-L-I-A-N.
Jillian.
Last name Green.
Okay. And how can we get in touch with her look at her work on the internet?
Well, she has three books on, if you go to the website, NoHoax, H-O-A-X dot net. She has three books there.
H-O-A-X
dot net.
N-O-H-O-A-S-K.
No.
X.com.
H-O-A-X. H-O-A-X. NoHoax.net.
NoHoax.net.
She has three books. The one is The Chalice of the Dove, ETA, and The Return of the Anunnaki. Three books on that system right there. But if you want to call her, Jillian, can I give you a number? There's only a few people here. Jillian?
Yes, hello?
May I give you a number?
Yes, my phone number. I'm in Montana, so my phone number is 406-802-2015.
2015. All right. Thank you, please.
She's a clairvoyant, so she can also do readings and all that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I love that she came in. When I came in this morning, she was mentioning how the planet is changing every certain amount of years. Right now, I'm living in a space with plenty of Christians. And they go to church every Sunday, and they, do what Christians do every Sunday. And yesterday I went, and I like how she mentioned that religion is one of the biggest things that's going on now to distract people. But when you asked about why did we come here to Dr., I could remember that we'd say a lot on this call here that we came here to wake up to what life is really all about. And I think of the religion as being one of the biggest one of the biggest things, I'll say, that has people's minds filled up with religion. A lot of people, their heads are filled up with God, the God concept. And just a few weeks ago, I came into, I would say, an enlightenment. Man created God. God did not create man. And I said that to a couple of people. They'd say, oh, she don't believe in God. He's, stay away from her. This is the devil talk. They talk like that now in church. I mean, around the area where I'm saying that now. And but I really found out that is one of the things that I think that we're going to, how the planet has to evolve, where the churches still have a big job to do. They have to say, we've been duped. We've been told,
okay.
We've been made, been duped with all the God concept. Why something that's so grand and so big that we created, the word spelled back with is dog.
Okay, that's the question.
But, that's,
question
yeah,
for you, Julia.
Yes.
Ma'am, let me, somebody else might, we only got 10 minutes left. Anybody else? So your question is, what is your question? Make that a question, please. Why do we have to have a God?
Well, I didn't want to make a question out of that. I was just,
Now I can appreciate her comment. I want to make it a question so we can always open it up to somebody, someone else.
Is he hearing something when I'm talking?
Jillian, why do we have to have a God?
Well, I don't. I neither. The lady who was just speaking, I neither agree nor disagree. Some famous person once said, "If there wasn't a God, man would create one."
Of course.
So we do. I think the problem is, the real problem about the whole God thing is because it's so wrong. I mean, what they teach is so misunderstood. There is a God-like being, and I would say small g, who is actually a physically real being who lives in a place that they call heaven. That's their name for where they live, is heaven, meaning in the heavens, up in the sky, right, out there, on a planet, but out there, right? And that he was the God Jehovah, small g again, who walked in the Garden of Eden. There's Yahweh, Jehovah, same name, the Yod-Heh-Voh-Heh of the Jewish alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet is the Yod-Heh-Voh-Heh, and he's known either as, that's pronounced either as Yahweh or Jehovah. And Jehovah was the Enlil of the Anunnaki, who was overseeing the development of this planet in pre and during the Sumerian times, and was turned into a god by the local people and has been worshipped ever since as the God, capital G. But of course, he is absolutely not. He is definitely not God, capital G. Is there a greater force in the universe? Well, yes, we presume there is, but nobody actually knows. So who, what, when, and where God, capital G, is, nobody knows. There is just an assumption in general that there is some intelligence behind the creation of the universe, which is unknown to anybody. And when I say anybody, I mean anybody. There's nobody in the universe that's been found yet who has actually solved the mystery of what is behind infinity. So you are both correct and incorrect in what you are saying about that, my dear. The thing is that most people want something bigger than themselves to worship. Now, you mentioned the Christians, and I consider myself to be Christian because Christ is the master of our quadrant of the universe. He is master of the great change that is affecting us right now. And he is indeed a time lord and a being worthy of adoration, because he has learned the things that we are trying to learn. That's why he is able to say to us, everything I do, you can do and more, because he's already done it. He's walked the path. We can follow it and we can get to our own enlightenment. But as to people going to church on a Sunday, this is something which I only learned recently myself, right? And it's this, that Sunday is in fact not the holy day created by the Lord and the Lord Jehovah in the beginning. The holy day was intended to be Saturday, right? And because it was tied as Saturday to Saturnalia, the old nature god, the wine worshipping, woods worshipping, old pagan religion, right? The bishops of the church, the Roman church, after a very long time, it was several hundred years after Christ, decided that they would not have Saturday as a holy day any longer because it was connected with the nature religions of the past. And besides which, Saturday was the day of worship of God. You know, keep the remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? So the Pope decided that at that time he should take the place of God, that the people of the world should worship him and consider him holy and put him in charge. And therefore he changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. He made Sunday the holy day, and that put the Pope in Rome as the one who was to be worshipped, adored, honored, and kept holy. So it actually cut them off from Jehovah, the old biblical. And Jehovah, the Enlil, I would point out, was the one who actually, when the great flood came, wanted to let all humans drown and disappear from the face of the earth because he was sick of the experiment. It had all gone wrong, and he was fed up with having to deal with it. So he was on the council. He voted to let humanity drown and start over. So the Jehovah that the Christians actually honor as their God doesn't like humans and is not the best of characters at the best of times. And he is also very much physically real and humanoid. So there's a lot to think about there, I know, but there is a lot of truth to find out about what went on in the past brought us to the present.
Okay, so can we say that Constantine manipulated, massaged all of that to have it his way with the 400 or 500 popes who couldn't read back in the day?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so it's part of history. It's part of what we're doing today. I'm just going to say, I'll take 1 minute and I'll shut up and let anybody else have a question or a comment. But we're trying to look at this UFO stuff, many people here in America, across the world, don't believe much of what we are hearing, you know, that UFOs are real. That the reptilians and greys and Nordics and blue avians and many other species are here from different quadrants of the universe to observe and to participate, and they have been for tens of thousands of years. They don't believe that because we weren't taught that. They don't believe that there are people living in the caverns under the earth, hollow earth, and many civilizations are there under the pyramids and all of that, or in Antarctica. People they think the world is flat. They don't believe any of this. So, in closing, I'm just saying people like your husband, George Green, and Corey Good, and David Wilcox, and Emerald Smith, and if you will, Dr. Stephen Greer, and Stanton Freeman, and Colonel Wendell Stevens, and all that, they came here to help us to look at the world differently and to think differently, including David Icke, and we'd want to honor and appreciate those folks. So I'm opening the microphone. Anybody who may have a comment or concern or a takeaway or whatever. It's the box to open business 3 minutes before the hour, and we've been talking for a long time.
Okay, anybody have a comment, press **, and that will unmute you. If anybody has a question or a comment. Okay, we have 757-295.
Yes, hi, Nate. This is Dr. Babb. How are you?
Oh, great.
Thank you so much for the words from Dr. Julian Green. And I think she was asking in the beginning about can we change things in the quantum field. The quantum field, we can put things in the quantum field. We can do that all the time. And as far as using the energy there, we have access to that energy that we can use in the quantum field. We just have to access it. Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches that we can do it through meditation. But yes, we can change any part of our reality using the quantum field and using that energy. And we can put things into the quantum field. We have that ability. The other thing is talking about using the power of the mind. The CIA declassified a whole library of using the mind and how you can access the mind and how the mind is actually taps you into your God, that God in you. You are God if you learn to use and master your mind. And that is why there's been such an attack on the ability to think cohesively and the ability to think in depth. Because if you realize who you are and realize the power that you have by using your mind, then that raises you and put you in a position so you can change anything. So there has been an attack, but we don't have to focus on the attack. We just need to focus on where it is that we want to go, how to get there, and trust that there is more to us than we have been able to tap in on. But if we focus and concentrate on that, then it will begin to open us up to that. So just wanted to throw that out there. I know you don't have a lot of time, but, you know, there is a declassified document, and I'll be talking about it this afternoon, that you can listen to that document. It tells you how to open those reservoirs, those doors that have been shut, just in using your mind, because just like we're studying now how we can be all that we can be, they studied it a long time ago, and that's what they're using against us. So that's our kryptonite. That's our access to kryptonite. We just have to begin to use it. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you for that. That was really great. Yes, we should have you on Monday telling us this stuff.
She said this afternoon, you have a show this afternoon?
If I have a call that I do on Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock, it's the Grown Folk Network, that, you know, you've been more than welcome to that. We talk about those documents, and that one particular document where you are God, and we're going to give you access to that document so that you can listen, you can read it, you can write it, and you can begin to tap in for yourself. Because no matter how much we want people to help us, which is why they put a religion out there in front of us and a God outside of us, no matter how much we want that help, it's up to us to unplug. We have to pull the plug on the matrix. We're not plugged into the matrix, but the matrix is plugged into you, and you're the only one that can unplug it. And you have the power to do it, but you've been convinced that you don't.
Okay. Where can we listen to the show, if I may, please?
Okay. It is the Grown Folk Network. The telephone number is, I have to find it every single time. The telephone number, is Dave King David on the line?
Who?
Because I wasn't prepared to do that. But yes, the Grown Folk Network. And if you tap in, then I can, if you text me, I can give you the information. But I can give you the number to that.
Well, how do we text you?
My number is 757-770.
757-770 what? What?
3215. And just shoot me a text on that. And let me know that you were on this morning. But that document is there. They released the whole library at the beginning of the year. So, the CIA released all of their declassified. They declassified that whole library on the ability that we have as humans, the ability that we have in our minds, the ability that we have just in being able to access that, because that is where the I'm going to use the word war for lack of a better word. That is where the war began, is if they could convince people that they need something outside of themselves, then they'll never go inside.
Right.
So once they did that, you know, they put all this stuff outside of them, the religion, there's a God outside of you, everything is outside of you. They never go inside, because inside is where you can tap in. By them declassifying that, it gave you a roadmap to how you can get back in touch. So some deprogramming that you have to do to yourself, but that's easy too. So, you know, we're sharing that. Yes.
If that's Julian, you want to comment on that?
Yes. No, I don't want to comment on it. I just didn't get the place where you can find the information.
Okay.
I think
we have Forrest Nance on. And he can share that with us. Is that you, Forrest, at 972?
Mic check. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, just to give you the number. Russ and Julian, because you were on my show once before a while back.
Right.
The number is, you ready?
Yes.
You ready, Russ?
Yes, sir.
All right. 520-525-8633.
Okay.
Okay. Go.
520-525-8633. Okay, got it.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, brother.
All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it. Not a problem.
Okay.
Julian, how do you want to wrap up? It's 4 o'clock. It's an hour. We've been talking for
an
hour.
I think we've talked a long time about a variety of things.
Sure.
And probably not stayed on track very well today.
But that's all right.
As always, it's a great pleasure to be here. So, Nate, thank you very much for having me again, and I hope we get to talk sometime in the future. And I hope that your people come up with some more questions that they can think of questions they would like information on.
Okay, Julie, if you have one more moment, we have one other person unmuted, and we'll call on before we end. That's Jeannie. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Oh, you know, I just unmuted to find out when she's going to be on Grown Folks today. Is it today?
Yeah, that's today. That's Dr. Bev.
And what time?
4 o'clock Eastern.
Eastern time, right?
That'll be 1 o'clock your time.
Okay. And Julian, I just wanted to ask you if I could call you. I've been wanting to ask a question. It's more personal. It has to do with several weeks ago when I asked you about a light. I taken a picture, and there was a light shining down my head. So is it okay if I call you?
Yes.
She said
yes.
You can call me.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Bye-bye now.
It's closing time because your husband, George Green, has something to say. 16 seconds.
And don't look for anybody out here to save you other than yourself. You know, even Christ said that. He said, what I do, you can do and greater, and what you sow, you shall reap.
That's John 14:12. I'm finished. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. So everyone have a wonderful day. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Russ and Jillian.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
And Dr. Bev. Okay.
The organizer has ended this meeting. Goodbye.
And Jillian, you still there? Jillian? She hung up. Oh, wow. Okay. I wanted to finish a couple of things anyway. She's still there. Let me do something here then. Let's see. I still have time. Let me see if I can call it back. One, two. In the meantime, let me do this.
In order for our civilization to move forward significantly, we're going to have something better than solar panels and windmills. And the good news is we have it. The bad news is there are sociopaths who are in super secret projects that don't want us to have it. And our civilization has been greatly harmed, not to mention our environment and biosphere. So a lot of people think this is about aliens. I said, no, it's not about ETs. It's about humans and how are humans going to get out of the conundrum we're in, which is a very serious problem, and move forward as a civilization instead of sliding backwards.
Okay, let me play that one more time. Julian, how are you doing? I just want you to hear this. One second.
In order for our civilization to move forward significantly, we're going to have something better than solar panels and windmills. And the good news is we have it. The bad news is there are sociopaths who are in super secret projects that don't want us to have it. And our civilization has been greatly harmed, not to mention our environment and biosphere. So a lot of people think this is about aliens. I said, no, it's not about ETs. It's about humans and how are humans going to get out of the conundrum we're in.
I'm sorry.
It's a very serious problem and move forward as a civilization instead of sliding backwards.
Okay, he's finished. What do you say?
This is Stephen Greer. Yeah,
It is. Yeah. He's saying that he has discovered, and I didn't want to, I'm not going to bother you playing all that, that the big fight is that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars that they have taken from the coffers of the United States and other governments of the world, and you're using it for their own nefarious efforts, so goals, objectives, and they want to continue to do that without relieving humanity of the challenges that they have to go through in terms of not having enough food and clothing and shelter and food and da 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 da. So that's what he's saying.
Yeah, the black ops money. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know about that. One of my clients was a handler for that kind of money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you send me the name and number over so I can contact him so I can get a piece of it?
No, he's dead now, as far as I know. I think they killed him off.
Well, I
don't think they killed him. I think he got killed in South America.
Wow. Yeah, he said he was promised $2 billion to keep quiet, but he said he refused the money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money to refuse, right?
Yeah, well, he doesn't need it. I mean, have you seen that web thing, you know, on his website where he lives? He lives in a most beautiful, magnificent estate with a great big house. And
yeah, I saw that.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. He's done very well for
himself. Don't think he's short of a dollar or two.
I heard that. I heard that. But his big movement of June of 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club, that should be a big deal.
Yes. So are you going?
No. But he's going to do, I think you can tap into it and listen to some of that before, I think, $99. I saw that piece on that. So I might do that. I might, you know, just pay the $99 and collect a lot of that information so I can replay it later on in some other programs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate you being on. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, it's fun as always, but today was not, I didn't enjoy it that much. It wasn't quite right somehow, but it was okay.
It wasn't what you wanted.
Well, it wasn't so much what I wanted. It was not clear to me.
I
don't have any preconceived notions because I wait to get some inspiration, if you like, from what the guys are showing me when a situation, a question, whatever is raised. I don't have that all mapped out like some written thing in my head. I wait till I see what comes, right? What is shown to me to talk about. And it just, it felt off kilter. Nothing wrong with it, just not clear.
It didn't go as you had wanted. It wasn't comfortable to you.
Comfortable, that's the word. Not comfortable.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
We seem to get distracted, keep getting distracted.
I heard you wrestle with that, you know. But it's a piece of it. Well, in closing here, because I'm a closer, a piece of it is we're talking about the positive principles of self-development that's used by all the people who have become billionaires and trillionaires on the planet in a very good way, be it Howard Schultz, be it Andrew Carnegie, or the people who have written a lot of books on Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, or The Science of Thinking Rich and all that. The people who are millionaires and billionaires or who are business people have used those principles to raise themselves up by the bootstraps, to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And that's part of the other thinking too, but we won't even get into it today, but that's part of what I was talking about early on. But anyway, thank you very much for being here, and I'll just close it out, and I'll talk to you next time. How's that?
Okay, Russell. Good to be talking with you. Bye now.
Have a good one. Okay, take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Webb's first official deep field. A patch of sky absolutely packed with galaxies. Some whose light is stretched and magnified by gravity.
There's actually a galaxy that's sort of twisted and bent, and it looks a lot like a Dali painting. There's this clock that's like melting, and, you know, in the case of the clock, it's time that's being warped, but here it's actually space that's being warped. It's like life is imitating art, and, you know, just this feeling of surrealness that this is the actual universe that we're looking at.
It sounds like living in a science fiction movie, but we are not living in that anymore. This is science. This is real.
All of these galaxies, some about 13 billion years old, appear in a spot of the sky the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length.
It really makes you step back and think, oh my goodness, you know, that's just a speck of cosmic existence. And look at what we can see. We can see thousands of galaxies in a speck of sand. How infinite the universe must be.
These first images offer a tiny glimpse of what will come.
Think of it as like blowing open the door to a treasure chest. We're just looking in, peering from the door.
The great thing is that really, this is just the beginning. Today is just the beginning. We'll be able to go much, much deeper. And this telescope is going to do what we designed it to do.